Scotty, how are you?
I'm well, Jason. How are you, man?
Good. Quickly, let's get to the CFL. We got the Lions and the Stampeders Sunday afternoon in Calgary. Those two teams met this past weekend, which really didn't solve much because a lot of them were resting players after the the first half and such. We saw a little bit of Drew Tate in that game. Jennings will obviously be the starting quarterback. Are they going to rely more on Jennings or Harris running the ball in Calgary?
Well, I would think that they're going to have to start with Jonathan Jennings throwing the ball. I think every team, as you know, would love to go run first and make that their bread and butter. It makes everything so much easier from a play-action pass standpoint. But the BC Lions run game here in the last third of the season has been extremely inconsistent. I'm not sure that they can afford to get themselves in situations where they're 2nd and 9, 2nd and 8 consistently against this Stampeders defense. They've been so good on second down this year. Have the Stampeders defensively that you just can't put yourself behind the chains that way. I think it will be mostly what we've seen here since Jonathan Jennings became the starter and teams have dared the Lions to pass. It will be Jennings first and foremost. At least that's my guess. Maybe the Lions try to go with a bit of a changeup, but I think that's the way they're going to approach this game.
The Calgary Stampeders, Jerome Messam filling in for Cornish, and it's crazy. Like, he can't even ride a bike. He's not even on pass one yet, phase one of the concussion protocol. So he's not going to play on Sunday, I would think, for sure. How different is their defense without Hughes in your mind?
I don't know it's that much different because Rich Stubler is a guy who's been able to do it the same way for so many years. And he's been such a great defensive coordinator in this league. I don't think he's a guy who relies on a Charleston Hughes to make sure that everything gets done. I'm not sure that he's a guy that focuses all of his eggs in one basket, so to speak, defensively. And I think that you can see that in the way even with what they elected in Calgary with Daron Mayo getting the nod for top defensive player there this year. I think you could have taken two or three different guys off that defense. They really spread it around. They put the onus on a lot of different places. They are a defense that will force you to kick field goals, as you know, and that's kind of been Rich Stubler's calling card over the course of his career. They stack up very well in the red zone. So I'm not sure things change that much without Charleston Hughes. It's not to say he's not a great player and that he can't have an impact on the game, but I don't think you look at Calgary as a decimated defense without him.
Scott Rintoul joins us from TSN 1040 in Vancouver. The Vancouver Canucks. A lot of people are trying to make something out of what Ryan Miller said after the game. I didn't really think it was that bad. What do you think?
No, I don't think it was that bad either. And a lot of that ties back into when Roberto Luongo was here, and there were a couple of occasions where he was critical of defensive efforts around him late in games. And there's one time specifically I can think of against Colorado early in his tenure here. And you know how it goes with goaltenders. If they say something critical, people will say, well, do you want guys being critical every time you let in a bad goal? If you're going to have it that way, you can't do it. Look, Ryan Miller is an established player in this league. He's been around for a long time. I think if you saw how he said the comments and the questions he was asked, it wasn't him going, well, this guy is terrible. We need better players. It wasn't any of that. It was being critical of Daniel Sedin in a particular moment, turning over the puck, and Daniel Sedin owned it after the game as well. I don't think he took any issue with it, but I understand why people make it into something, because that has been historically something that has been done here.
Miller was off to a great start and maybe coming back down to earth a bit, or what have you seen changed recently in his play?
Well, I don't know how much of it it's Ryan Miller's play. I think he's been great to start this season, and we had Kevin Woodley from NHL.com and In Goal Magazine on the other day just to break down Ryan Miller's goaltending a little bit. And Kevin said it is night and day in terms of how he is getting to the positions he wants to be in. And Ryan Miller, part of the reason he's had so much success this year is that he made a decision that he's going to live and die on the top of his crease. And Roy Melanson has been a goaltending coach who has wanted his goaltenders traditionally to be deeper. But Ryan Miller, because he has been a challenge first-type goalie for his entire career, you can't retrain him completely. There are going to be situations where you see him deeper in his crease, but he's a guy who's going to try to be on top of things. What's made him a great goaltender in the NHL over the course of his career is his anticipatory skills. He has a really high level of research on a lot of the shooters. He anticipates so well, whether it's going to be a pass or a shot when players are coming in off the rush. And the fact that he trusts himself and where he's going to be to start this season, I think has a lot to do with his success.
Scott, the Vancouver Canucks, they've got a few young players that were turning heads. One younger guy they haven't had in Tanev. How much of a void has there been from him? Because he's been one of those guys that was kind of, that find that organizations are looking for, not expecting that he comes in and is playing top 4 minutes and doing really well. Have they missed him more than we expect?
Chris Tanev, well, he's played most of the season so far, so he hasn't been a guy that's been out for a considerable amount of time.
Yeah, recently, I guess I meant to say.
I mean, anytime you don't have him, it's like with him and Edler, it's one and one equals more than two. When Tanev is there, Edler steps up his game, and that's not to say that Edler isn't an excellent defenseman without him, but when the two of them are together, it just fits right. The puzzle goes together so much more clearly and better for the Vancouver Canucks defense. And those two guys together, when they're up to speed and completely healthy, they give Vancouver Canucks a legitimate number one pairing. If one of them's missing, things get out of whack. And so, yeah, obviously if Tanev's not in the lineup, you're certainly going to miss him, because you're not just going to miss what he brings you, you're also going to miss a little bit of what Alex Edler brings you.
Now, is Tanev just a good complement to Edler, or is there something about his game that makes Edler play better?
Well, I think it's the fact that he's so reliable defensively and his puck retrieval skills are so good. Very rarely does Chris Tanev turn the puck over. He's a shock absorber in the corners as well. He's the type of defenseman that if somebody gets in on the forecheck, he can absorb a hit, but also maintain control of the puck and find a way to do something responsible with it. It's also the fact that when Tanev is out there, Edler knows he can take a couple more chances, and that's something that he's been prone to doing over the course of his career. Sometimes it results in turnovers, but when you've got a guy who's reliable as Tanev, you've got a pretty good fallback plan if the team gets an odd man rush the other way, just because he's been so responsible that way. And, I don't think we're ever going to see a lot of offense out of Chris Tanev, but that aspect of his game has improved as well. He's getting a little more power play time this season, and he's provided a little more offense here in the early part of the campaign than normally you would expect him to. I don't think there's a lot of people who took him in their pool, and understandably so, but he is a guy whose play has improved, but it's what he brings to Edler as well that just makes him so good.
Scott Rintoul from TSN 1040 joins us. The other surprise, the bigger surprise story on the back end is Ben Hutton, who played 4 games in the American League last year after graduating from college. He was a 5th-round pick in 2012. And, he's the only defenseman who's played all 15 games for the Canucks, and he leads the team in scoring on the blue line with 7. Now, I know he's playing, it looks like anyway, kind of third-line minutes and some power play time, and he actually has 5 of his 7 points at even strength. Has Hutton, been consistent? Have we seen any rookie moments from him?
The odd one here or there, but to be quite honest, I think the only reason you'd call them rookie moments are because he's only in his first year in the NHL. With any other defenseman, you would just say it's an odd mistake here or there. He's been remarkable. He really has. They did not expect him to be here this year. They really didn't. They thought Ben Hutton was going to come in, be a nice story in camp, give them one of their depth defensemen that they could call up from the American Hockey League. But the plan in the summer with Ben Hutton was to send him to Utica and have him log a bunch of minutes there playing in all situations. Well, he blew everybody away in training camp. And until the Canucks said, he is our guy, he's going to be here this year, I don't think most of us believe them. Because it's easy to say that, but we all know how the contracts sit, and we can all see the finances of any NHL hockey club. And because of Ben Hutton's play, the Vancouver Canucks lost Frankie Corrado on waivers. That's how it went. And they were willing to take that risk and try to get Corrado down to the farm because Hutton earned that spot. And I think it sent a message to a lot of the team. And I think it sent a message to guys like Jake Virtanen and Jared McCann as well, that if you guys in your first 9 games do enough, we're going to keep you. And again, I think there were still some doubting that in the fan base, saying, look, it's easier to send at least one of these guys back down to junior. You don't burn the entry level on their contract. And everybody goes away happy thinking, well, this guy could be something next year. Well, to the Canucks' credit, those players earned the right to be here, and they've kept them around. Hutton was the guy who really paved the way, I think, for the other young players.
Speaking of young players, what were your thoughts on the McCann hit?
I thought it was punishable by the exact rule that they threw Larson out with in that game. The puck is not on McCann's stick at that point in time. Larson wants to deliver a blow. I know McCann's head is a little bit lower than it would be if he was completely upright, but I think that's a textbook hit in the NHL that you don't really want that these days, that Larson went to deliver a blow. He took a chance that he might get his shoulder. He did, and he got the head. And so I thought they made the right call and thrown him out.
Scotty, always good to catch up with you. Who are you picking in the East and the West semifinal?
Oh, man, that East. It's so hard to tell, isn't it? I think Hamilton's the better football team, so I'll go with Hamilton to win just because I think on balance they're better and they can score with any phase of that team. I think the easy pick is Calgary. I'm making this call from Vancouver, right? So I should probably pick the Lions. I think the house money is probably on the Calgary Stampeders, but I'll tell you this, and Jason, you know this from seeing BC come there a couple of times here in the later part of the season. I don't think anybody scares the BC Lions right now. I'm not going to sit here and make them a favorite. I'm not saying you're going to see an upset for sure, but I'm telling you, they feel like they can play with anybody right now.
Well, they gave the Eskimos defense much more trouble than the Calgary offense did this year in three different starts. So I wouldn't be shocked by an upset, but Calgary at home is a much better team.
Yeah, they are at home. They've just been so good in that building, and I know that's why the Eskimos are pretty excited. They'll be playing that Western final in their own confines.
Scotty, we'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.